here's the meaning of life.
Thank you, Brigitte.
Well, it's nothing very special. Try and be nice to people, avoid eating fat, read a good book every now and then, get some walking in, and try and live together in peace and harmony with people of all creeds and nations. And finally, here are some completely gratuitous pictures of penises to annoy the censors and to hopefully spark some sort of controversy, which it seems the only way these days to get the jaded, video-sated public off their fucking asses and back in the sodding cinema. Family entertainment? Bollocks. What they want is filth. People doing things to each other with chainsaws, joint Tupperware parties, babysitters being stabbed with knitting needles by gay presidential candidates, vigilante groups strangling chickens, armed bands of theatre critics exterminating mutant goats. Where's the fun in pictures? Oh, well, there we are. Here's the theme music.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, June 8th, 2005. And this, in case you haven't figured it out, is Newsreel. Your daily report is the WOG counterculture defeats the evil of corporatical tyranny. And since we are doing that, Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening, you are too, even though you may be violating certain listener licenses and any other restrictions in your local area. In fact, this news broadcast is being broadcast with the intention of educating you and giving you the edge you need to survive in the crazy world that we live in. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Don't get your hopes up. We're not really having the most amazing of all live journal pages since I had to get rid of my lead hacksaw page I designed using only really dark scripts and like green on black and all that good 14-year-old hacker stuff. But unfortunately, we are going to be putting a new live journal together. Actually not on live journal, but we're doing some stuff to try to get Newsreel on back on the Rant servers and stuff like that. It's all moving along rather nicely. But in the meantime, in between time, you could get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. But that may be changing in the not-so-distant future. This is a free radio broadcast that we can hear on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, and OspreyRadio.info. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can copy it, give it to your coworkers. You can give it to people who come to your door. You can leave it on bus seats. You could put it onto other people's iPods doing podcasting that you don't know. Get onto their settings. Make it so that in the middle of their downloads, they all of a sudden have Newsreel on their iPod. What a great idea. Kind of pirate, a little bit like audio vandalism, but what the hell? I mean, you got to do what you got to do in order to circulate the virus, right? Am I right or what? Let's get into some feedback right off the top on Dear Sean. Of course, there is no real Dear Sean. I always put Dear Sean in the beginning. Dear Sean. It makes me feel better. Dear Sean, on Newsreel for Wednesday, June 1, you had an email where someone said they heard you mention with Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly. As much as I would love for this to be true, alas, it is not. Being a talk radio junkie here in the States, I listen to much AM and public radio just to relate to you and must relate to you the awful truth. The man they heard referenced was Sean Hannity, Hannity.com, which they say his name, it sounds just like Sean Kennedy. He's a whore of Clear Channel, and you are not. He gives legal advice to people who call in. He's pretty much a rude, egotistical bastard. Well, you know, at least we got that much in common, I suppose. Unfortunately, this mistake happens more than you would care to believe. I will ask people if they've heard of you, and they say, yeah, I've heard of him on AM radio. And then I sigh, having to tell them it's Sean Hannity. tell them that's Sean Hannity, a freaking dork. And I'm talking about Sean Kennedy, the fucking man. Perhaps we can send a battalion or two of WOGs down to Clear Channel and clear this up. Thanks for all the wonderful free information, Sean and Sim, low-tech mystic. Well, we do what we can here at the Rant Media Studios, here at Studio B, but while we're working on our rapidly evasive. You like that? Rapidly evasive Studio C, which should be something that we can mobily broadcast with. But currently, we have no money, and my engine is seized. So currently, we can't get mobile Studio C being mobile. But we do have a very convincing-looking mobile Studio C. Well, you know, you do what you can with what you got, hey? Let's get on to some sort yourself out information. You ready for this one? That's all the feedback I got. Can you believe that? Not a lot of feedback these days. I guess people are pretty busy. A lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. People trying to monitor everything that's happening. And wait until I get into the news stories today, because I've got like a whole theme today, let me tell you. Okay, here's the sort yourself out. Dear Sean, 3 years ago, I'd walk home from my friend's house down the street with confidence. Nothing really bothered me as I walked home at 3 a.m. Now, I find myself a little wigged out, walking home anytime from his house. It's not just paranoia, it's events. Everything's getting degraded. People are swarming and robbing people now. I want to feel safe again, and no matter how big the knife gets, no powerful the gun is, it won't stop the degradation. Specifically, I'm afraid of gang swarmings and violence. What should I do? Well, okay, it's kind of like this. If you are in an area where you're that concerned about violence, move! Get out of there, okay? You want to talk to people, you know, and now if you're not in a position where you can move, where, you know, you're a kid and you haven't got the ability to tell your parents, look, there's gang violence outside, there's kids getting beaten by other kids, I think we should make an informed and educated decision to get the fuck out of this neighborhood, okay? But if you cannot do that, then what you need to do is you need to get a hold of somebody who you know knows the streets and street scene very, very well so that you can glean information in street marts or street smarts from them. So that you can actually get some street knowledge. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who you know. Look for some people who maybe in your school system or stuff like that. Or you know friends of friends who know a little bit more about how to get around on the streets. So you don't have to move around like you're so afraid all the time. Now, if it's an irrational fear, fear makes no sense. Fear is the mind killer, okay? What you need to do to destroy fear is to educate yourself. So the more you learn about your scenario, the more you learn about your surroundings, the more you learn about, you know, various gangs that are in your neighborhood, you will, at the very least, be able to avoid them. You see what I'm saying? As well, you can look at peak times and stuff like that. Now, in my personal experience, if you got to walk home late, don't walk home at 3, walk home at 5. Because generally between 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, there's not a lot of street action going on. Conversely, between the hours of 2 to 4, generally, but actually I would say probably between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, that's about the best time to do any movement when you want to be not too easily seen. Now, if you're in a car, you're basically done. And if there's any cops walking around, they're going to be coming up and asking you what you're doing because nobody's out walking around between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. So make sure you haven't got anything nasty on you, nothing that could be construed to say, yeah, I'm just walking home from my friend's house, he lives here, I live there, then I'm really scared, so that's why I'm leaving this late, blah, blah, blah. Explain it to them and maybe they'll understand. That would be my advice to you. Definitely do not walk around with a knife or a gun, because if you don't know what you're doing, you're probably going to get it taken away from you and used against you. Even so much as pepper spray and tasers and things like that. If you don't know what you're doing, you're going to get hurt, and you're going to hurt yourself. Worse than that, you could overdo, and some guy could come up and want to jack you for, like, I don't know, your wallet, and you wind up killing the guy. And that's not cool either, because then you wind up going to jail. So my advice to you, my good friend, is you have a choice. You can either educate or obfuscate. You know, you want to either stay in hiding, educate yourself, or just simply get the fuck out of there. That would be my advice to you. Now, let's get into some news right away. Falwear was the first guy to send me this in, but I got this from everybody under the sun here. Are you ready for this? A Supreme Court ruling means state laws allowing medical use of marijuana don't protect 6 people from federal prosecution. In a 6-3 ruling Monday, justice has found that users can be prosecuted under a federal ban on the drug, actually a herb which grows naturally in ditches all across America, even if used under a doctor's order. So even if your doctor, the medical professional who, you know, I got to almost stick my tongue in my cheek when I call doctors medical professionals, but there are, and even the doctors will say, you know, just like there are evil lawyers and there are good lawyers. I've never seen one. Actually, no, that's true. I know one good lawyer. But even if, you know, the doctors, generally, I mean, there's a lot of doctors who are trying to help people. There are a lot of doctors that have the dream of healing people and stuff like that. Not all the doctors are pill-pushing, junkie-creating psychos. Okay, there are some that have some better ideas. Now, even if this doctor was to be enlightened enough to say, hey, you know what, rather than slap you on Zyban, Xanax, Prozac, or Flavor of the Munch Blue Pill, which is guaranteed to destroy your mind, rather than do that, we're just going to have you take some of this herb that barely qualifies as a drug to start with. Now, the decision, even if your doctor does that, you get to go to jail. The decision is a defeat for marijuana advocates who have gotten 10 states to allow the drugs used for various illness. But federally, it's gone, no, because obviously the political party in power does not want medical marijuana being used because, well, that would just be the death of our current society, wouldn't it? The use of marijuana for medical purposes is currently legal in Alaska, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Maine, Montana, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, and Vermont. These people are all enlightened, but apparently, I guess, federally, not so much. According to the Marijuana Policy Project, writing for the majority, Justice Pawn Stevens said Congress can change the law to allow medical use of the drug, but drug opponents say that shouldn't happen until there's proof marijuana actually has a benefit. Well, okay, I would put it to you that since there is no related deaths to the antidepressant marijuana, and there's massive side effects and huge deaths related to every other antipsychotic and antidepressant on the market, this would make me go, people don't die when you take it. So that's a big plus column, you know? And as well, it does something. In a dissent, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor said state powers have always included the authority to define criminal law and to protect the health, safety, and welfare of citizens. Under the Constitution, Congress can pass laws to regulate states' economic activity as long as interstate commerce is involved. The closely watched case was an appeal by the Bush administration in California case that lost late in 2003. At issue is whether the prosecution of medical marijuana users under the Federal Controlled Substance Act was constitutional. Well, you know, honestly, if you've got a guy, okay, hear me out here, okay? If you got a guy who's terminal, okay, he's got, say, leukemia or cancer or AIDS or some other equally nasty fucking disease, okay, where, you know, basically your life is pain. Here you go, have a big, you know, lump full of pain. Now, when you're in that kind of pain, you know, it's very, very easy to want to spend money to stop the pain. That's why they have extra strength Tylenol now that, you know, apparently they're saying that you can get up to 8 hours. I mean, that's what you hear on the commercials, saying 8 hours of relief if you take this pill. Jesus Christ, man, if you're in constant pain for 8 hours, I think you have bigger concerns to worry about than just, you know, whether or not you should take an aspirin. I'm just thinking here that, you know, if you're in constant pain that you need 8 hours of relief, there's something wrong. Okay, you shouldn't have to take that much pain relief, dude. If you're in that much pain, there's something broken. And, you know, Band-Aid solutions like hiding the masking the pain is not going to work. Never mind the damage that it's been shown does to your liver and everything else. Now, just in case you're wondering, you know what, you know, everyone's all like, well, Sean, it's a drug, blah, 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 blah. But this has got very little to do with the drug. This is really funny. You see, the reason why marijuana is illegal, I mean, just recently it's been coming into the pharma fascism news front. But before, I mean, you want to know what all hemp was used for. Here, check this out. I got a few points I got down here, and you can check this out too. I've got a link to it on the page, I believe. All school books were made from hemp or flax paper. Now, that's the actual product of the fiber that's inside of, you know, marijuana plants. It's actually called hemp. There's two kinds of hemp. There's industrial hemp, and then there's the stuff with the THC, right? Well, the reason why it was made illegal in the first place was the pulp and paper industry wanted to get rid of it because all school books were made from hemp or flax paper until the 1880s. It was legal, you ready for this? It was legal to pay taxes with your hemp in America from 1631 to the early 1800s. Refusing to grow hemp in America during the 17th and 18th century was against the law. You could be jailed in Virginia for refusing to grow pot from 1763 to 1769. Oh my, how the times have changed. Why? Because it's such a useful plant. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and other founding fathers grew and smoked hemp together. Like, what are you thinking? Benjamin Franklin owned one of the first paper mills in America, and it processed what hemp? For thousands of years, 90% of all ships, sails, and ropes were made from hemp. The word canvas is a Dutch word for cannabis. Okay? That's how much our culture is so incredibly based on this simple plant that nobody seems to. 80% of all textiles, fabrics, clothes, linen, drapes, bed sheets were made from hemp until the 1820s with the introduction of the cotton gin. The first Bibles, maps, charts, Betsy Ross's flag, the first draft of the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution were made from hemp. The first crop grown in many states was hemp. Oldest known records of hemp farming go back 5,000 years in China. Okay? Rembrandts, Gainsboroughs, Van Goghs, as well as most early canvas paintings were principally painted on what? That's right, hemp. In 1916, the U.S. government predicted that by the 1940s, all paper would come from hemp, and no more trees need to be cut down. In 1916, the U.S. government predicted that by the 40s, all paper would come from hemp and no more trees need to be cut down. Wow. What would that do? The government studies report that 1 acre of hemp equals 4.1 acres of trees. Plans were in the works to implement such programs, and the Department of Agriculture was ditched it altogether. Why? Because, okay, now, and also you got to think, what do you suppose grows faster? An acre of a weed that grows, like, almost at the same speed as bamboo, or 4.1 acres of trees? What do you suppose is a more renewable resource? Incidentally, you can't actually make gasoline out of hemp, something that I'm finding nobody's talking about since we're in this massive fuel shortage crisis. Quality paints and varnishes were made from hemp and seed oil until 1937. Henry Ford's, remember Ford, you know, the guy who supported the Nazi party, Ford? He had, Adolf Hitler had a huge picture of Ford up on his wall in his office. Why? Because Ford was a big fan of the Nazi party, buddy. But Henry Ford's first Model T was built to run on hemp gasoline, and the car itself was constructed from hemp, if you can believe that. So the first Model Ts were actually made out of weed. Hemp called the billion-dollar crop. It was the first time a cash crop had business potential to exceed $1 billion, and that's according to a Popular Mechanics article from February of 1938. So when you look at all this, this massive use and potential for this plant, I'm wondering why there's such a huge problem regarding it. Like, why is there all this hatred about this stupid little plant? I can't figure it out. The only reason why I could see that is because, well, the big businesses are going to lose all their money. Let's talk about everybody who's going to lose cash. I mean, it's all the core politicals who are going to lose out here. We've got everything that you can make from gasoline and from oil resources you can make from hemp. Don't believe me? Go check out a book. It's called The Emperor Wears No Clothes. It's got all the data with references. Check some of my material. See if I'm lying to you. See if I am lying to you. Because you know what? Maybe that's what's going to happen. If the America falls apart at the seams, they've got to know that this is happening. So this supposed fuel crisis, which I'm not really too sure that the fuel crisis really exists. It seems like, oh no, we've only got 500,000 years worth of oil left in the planet. We've reached the halfway point. Well, why all of a sudden is there massive, massive price increases on all this oil? And it's different right across the country. Shouldn't it be the same sort of price point right across the country in Canada and the United States? Should there be some sort of measure in place to stop price gouging for people using oil? But of course, they got us by the short and curlies, don't they? We got to move. We got to drive. We got to have our products made from oil. So they're going to just give it to us. And all we got to do is find a way to take something natural so that we can make our own fuel. But no, 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 no. That will keep all the core politicals from getting their little coppers, wouldn't it? Yes, well, that's not really so good. And just to add insult to injury, Foolish 101 sent in a story which you can help to stop this new war on drugs rules of engagement they're drafting up here. You ready for this one here? This is unbelievable. Never before have I been so happy to be a Canadian, and it's not because I want to thumb my nose at Americans. I really enjoy Americans. And the other day, just before I get onto this, the other day I was looking on the news, and there was this broad, I guess she said this blonde thing, I can't remember what the fuck her name is, but she's some rabid Republican bitch who's like, makes Rush Limbaugh look like, you know, I don't know, makes Rush Limbaugh look like Noam Chomsky. This broad's right out to lunch. She kind of looks a little bit like, I can't remember her name, damn it. But she's got long, straight blonde hair. Everybody knows her. I'm sure you know the bitch I'm talking about. I don't even want to say her name because, you know, well, she might sue me or something. I don't know. But in all honesty, I can't remember her goddamn name, which is probably a blessing. But she's going off about how Canada sucks and how we're basically Honduras and all this kind of jazz. And every American runs to Canada. You know, they all lose the bad Americans to Canada. During the Vietnam War, there was all the draft dodgers who came up here. So, you know, they want to just make America psycho Republican. Of course, all she ever does is just say the most rabidly right-wing things she can. Which is, I mean, she's like a clown, you know, it's kind of like, it's got to be a comedy thing, because there's no way she could actually be that fucking stupid. But if she is that fucking stupid, and if, you know, these right-wing psycho pundits down there really are that dumb, that kind of scares me a little bit, you know? Like, hey, if it wasn't for Canada, there'd be no special forces in the United States. You got to bear in mind, the first special forces unit ever comprised was half Canadian, and it was us who thought up the whole idea. Not to be all flag-waving, because I don't believe in the whole concept of countries anyway. I think the whole thing's kind of dumb. I think I'd like to see all of North America get together under one banner so that we could try to address the world's issues. That might be a better way to go rather than saying, I'm from California, I'm from Delaware, I'm from Detroit. Who gives a fuck? We're all people. It doesn't mean a goddamn thing. Furthermore, it doesn't mean anything that somebody's Chinese or Japanese or whatever they are, or Russian. Who cares? If we can get past this weird imposed division which is put on us in the way of borders, we can start openly communicating with each other like they're trying to do in Bosnia by setting up networks and internet-related chat rooms and stuff like that so people can talk. Once you start talking and communicating, eventually, after enough communication is done, we stop shooting each other and we can maybe all get on the same page rather than trying to use inside information to fuck each other over to make a dollar. Maybe I'm way out to lunch on this one here. But I'm hoping that, you know, maybe, even possibly, isn't peace kind of good for business as well as war? I don't know. I mean, you know, if there's lots of people who are alive and not so much running from the streets from bombs or bombers, maybe, you know, we could probably get some commerce going. You know, they'd have to buy some clothing or something and more tech. You know, more tech for people all over the world. I would be just happy to see all the kids in Ethiopia getting fed and getting tech. The problem is, of course, people say, well, we don't have enough food, blah, 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 blah. But, and honestly, I think that at the high level and in the boys' clubs of the powers that run the world, the Bilderberg groups, how many people in the Bilderberg group aren't white? There's a thought. How many people in the Bilderberg group, just a quick, I don't even know the answer to that. I don't think there's any people who are not white in the Bilderberg group. And being a white guy myself, I gotta say it's pretty sad to be not a good time to be a white guy because, you know, generally white people seem to be causing the majority of the problems in the world right now. You know, I don't really, you know, people say, well, Africa's doing its own damage. Yes, this is true. But if you look at the history, generally, it was the white people who came to America. It was the white people who killed all the Indians. It was the white people in England who declared war on more people than any other country in the history of the world. Except maybe the Vatican. Maybe. You know, you could go with the Vatican there. And then you've got all these mudhut religions. I mean, it's kind of a... this is a difficult time to be a young person trying to, you know, amass all this information and see what's going on in the universe and the world around us, man. It's scary because, you know, you're looking at this ancient history where everyone's just absolutely batshit bonkers. And you ask yourself, hey, everyone can't possibly be this fucking crazy. They can't all be nuts. I mean, there's got to be something to this religion stuff, isn't there? But don't worry, okay? Don't worry. Just keep your head down. Focus on what you know to be true and focus on the stuff. Check some. Read. Get more information. Get more data. Eventually, this stuff will level out. Even if you are right-wing, left-wing, whatever. Hey, as long as we're not killing each other, it's okay in my books. Now, getting back to this new rules of engagement in the drug war. This is just insanity to me. I can't believe this one at all. You can click on the link on the page and get to a page where it talks about where you can do something about this. H.R. 1528, Defending America's Most Vulnerable Safe Access to Drug Treatment and Child Protection Act of 2005 is the worst drug war bill that Congress has ever considered. Very strongly worded. Among other things, this is just the highlights here. What does this bill do? H.R. 1528. Okay, here's what it does. It virtually eliminates the ability of federal judges to give sentences below minimum sentence recommended by federal sentencing guidelines. So if you're, you know, grabbed, you cannot go below the minimum sentence, essentially creating a mandatory minimum sentence for every federal offense, including both drug and non-drug offenses. So there's a minimum sentence that the judges can't go, well, this is bullshit. No, they have to give you a minimum sentence. It expands the federal three strikes and you're out law to include new offenses, including mandating life imprisonment with no possibility of parole for anyone convicted a third time under the RAVE Act. Very bizarre. Mandates a 10-year minimum sentence for anyone 21 or older that gives marijuana or other drugs to someone under 18, i.e. a 21-year-old college student gives a joint to his 17-year-old brother. A second offense would be life in prison. So if I'm 21, I give it to my 17-year-old brother, I do 10 years minimum. This bill also expands what is considered to be a drug-free school zone to include almost any place in an urban area and increases penalties for selling or distributing drugs in that area. Okay, well, that You know, if you're running a crack house, I could see that. So that one doesn't seem quite so bad. It mandates a 5-year minimum sentence for any person that commits a drug trafficking offense near the presence of a person under the age of 18. So if you sold it to your brother, you get 5 plus 10, there's 15 years. Thanks for coming out. Creates a new offense for persons who... Now, here's a good one. There's a new offense. A new law has been made. So now, if you have witnessed or learn about certain drug offenses and you fail to report the drug offense to a cop within 24 hours, so you see someone pass a joint and you don't report that within 24 hours or fail to provide full assistance to the police in tracking and prosecuting the offender, who did you see pass a joint? I'm not telling you. You're guilty too. Offenses would get someone a 2-year minimum sentence, including failing to report a neighbor that is storing or selling drugs when that neighbor has kids, failing to report anyone that gives a joint to someone under the age of 21, failing to report a college student or someone that is selling marijuana on a college campus. If you have knowledge of it and you don't report it, you're doing 2 years in the federal slammer. Now, to me, that sounds like a really good way to just throw, like, why don't you just set up one of those people movers like they got in Vegas and them going into prisons, you know? It mandates a 5-year minimum sentence for any person that offers, solicits, encourages, or induces a person enrolled in drug treatment or previously enrolled in drug majors to purchase, possess, or receive drugs. Now, how's that? So, let me see now. I could be, because I talk about drugs on the show here, since I'm encouraging, could be gauged, Sean encourages drug use because he thinks it should be legal. I'm in a drug rehab plan, you know, and since I listen to Sean could be charged with a 5-year minimum sentence. Thanks much. Oh, wait, I'm not American, but that makes me a foreign terrorist. I'm a Canadian terrorist, now broadcasting corruptible information to the youth of America. You know, distributing harmful matter to minors. Let's not forget that one, too. Come on, guys. You know, there comes a point when even the law enforcement has to stand up and go, whoa, this is fucking insane. It makes it a federal crime. Same bill. We're still on the same bill, if you can believe this. The same bill makes it a federal crime to provide drug paraphernalia to anyone. Zigzags, drug paraphernalia. Bongs, drug paraphernalia. Any kind of, you know, water pipe, drug paraphernalia. While the goal is to make it a crime punishable to 3 years in prison to give someone a bong as a birthday present. This is like 3 years in jail to give somebody a bong that you made out of a Pepsi bottle, okay? Or a Coke bottle or any other kind of bottle you want. It would also make it a federal crime to provide someone with sterile syringes, except where explicitly authorized by local state law. If enacted, it would essentially criminalize many needle exchange programs. Now, in Vancouver, we have a safe injection site policy. That's how different it is in Vancouver as compared to the United States. Oh, my God, America, do I ever feel bad for you. You guys really need to get your shit together, and maybe you should, I don't know why you got your amendments the way you do on your Constitution, but you need to do something about your government, guys, because you are really losing it down there. Your freedoms are going right down the shitter, boys, and it's sad because, you know what, I really, really care for Americans. I think they're great people, and it's sad, sick, and weird to see how your government is destroying your, like, credibility on an international scene. I mean, I don't care about being out of step with the rest of the world. Who gives a fuck? But the point is, I mean, holy crap, you guys are, if it was Americans, we're looking after Americans, but they're not. Americans are putting all their people in fucking jail. This is insane. If you're not a rich, white, upper-class lifestyle dude, you're either getting a disease or going in the slammer for slave wages. Doesn't that seem a little bit odd to you? Now, in hardware news, getting past this, let's try to get something a little bit more positive. In hardware news, a scientist at the University of Liverpool has helped create the world's smallest transistor by providing that a single molecule can power electric circuits. Now, how much use is there for this, huh? This is pretty hot. A single molecule can power electric circuits. Dr. Werner Hopper from the university's Surface Science Research Center is one of an international team of scientists who created a prototype that demonstrates single-charged atom on a silicon surface can regulate the conductivity of a nearby molecule. Very, very cool. Computers and other technology based on this concept would require much less energy to power and would produce much less heat and run much faster. So we're talking about something smaller, better, faster, uses less power. So when are we going to see that put onto the laptops? Hopefully soon. But this could also mean more technology in the wearable market, which we've got some news on there, too. And in robotics news, well, actually, I should say in Tachikoma news, researchers at Osaka University unveiled on Monday a six-limbed multiped robot that can be used for disaster rescue as it walks on unleveled ground and moves by hanging from net-shaped wires. That's what made me really think, I've got a multiped that uses wires? That's really cool. The robot, which was developed by Osaka University professor Tatsuo Arai and his colleagues, is 52 centimeters long, has six limbs with four junctures each. It's named Asterix. The robot carries a video camera that can be operated by remote control through images that it sends through a wireless local area network. So essentially, you got yourself a 52-centimeter long Tachikoma that's out there searching for people inside a wreckage. Very, very cool. Robots save lives. Maybe that's the one thing we need to do. Maybe we should actually... I was hearing about that on the news the other day. Well, it wasn't really the news. I think it was on Coast to Coast or something like that. But they had this guy on there. They were talking about the eventuality of building computers that are smarter than people. You know? And some people go, oh my God, if we decide to do that, we are going to give up our dominant position on the planet. Well, I give it to you, the damage we've done to the planet. I think it's time for us to give up the dominant position because we are fucking this planet up badly. And we show no signs of stopping. If we had a computer that was actually more intelligent and smarter than humans, and we gave it the mandate to look after all humanity, what do you suppose would happen? Would it be like a NS5 sort of iRobot scenario where it would take away all of our rights and just keep us in cages? Is that what it is? Or do you suppose a robot would be smart enough to be able to figure out quality of life and shit like that? Maybe it would be like Appleseed, where we have bioroids and humans living together. So that, you know, it keeps the general morale of the populace up into a certain stage where everyone has a certain sort of mood. I'd rather people be happy because of art around them, because of music in the air, rather than all the drugs being pumped through my veins. Maybe it's just me. But I like the idea of technology. I like the idea of making robots smarter than people, because maybe we'll be able to invent our way out of this mess. Now, in Silence is Death news, Tommy Hook, you know, you've probably heard about this one, is one of two Los Alamos National Laboratory whistleblowers who are suing the lab. And now this guy was attacked and beaten outside the Santa Fe, New Mexico topless nightclub Cheeks. So this guy, he's a whistleblower, goes to a topless club and goes outside, gets the shit kicked out of him. According to his wife, one of the assailants warned Hooks to keep his mouth shut. Hooks, a formal internal editor who still, internal auditor who still works at the Los Alamos in another capacity, was going to testify before the House Energy and Commerce Committee in a few weeks. Oh, so they're trying to keep his mouth shut. Problems at Los Alamos Labs have become almost legendary, and currently a change in management is underway. The governor of New Mexico, Bill Richardson, was Secretary of Energy during some of the escapades at Los Alamos. Oh boy, so lots of dirty secrets are going to get revealed here. Clearly, someone wants Hook to keep quiet about something besides embarrassing him by jumping him outside of a topless nightclub. Who gives a shit? So the guy's outside of a topless... See, that's one of the things where the moral right's got to watch that. So what if a guy's got porn on his computer? I trust a dude who watches porn. I'd seriously think, you know, I'm really sure that if George Bush were to take a big hammer hit off of a bong, he'd probably take a look at the entire war in Iraq and go, whoa, you know, I know we're making money and everything, guys, but there's a lot of children getting blown up. Maybe we should cut that out. Say what you like about hippies, but hippies generally don't shoot people, as a rule. As a rule, never heard of someone getting high, picking up a gun, shooting someone. Alcohol, different story. Different story with the booze. We'd never heard that. Hook's attorney says that he was lured there by someone claiming to have evidence of the financial wrongdoings at the lab. So come to this topless nightclub. We have information for you. Meets at the topless nightclub, gets the living shit beat right out of him. And if you click on the link, you get to see a nice photo of Buddy. And let me tell you, he got fucked up. Okay, he didn't just get punched out. This guy got wrecked. Okay, his face is all fucked up. He's got a spine board collar on there. Maybe that's all for the photograph. I don't know. But you can't really fake that kind of bruising. The guy got fucked over pretty good, okay? And now they're like, keep your mouth shut. I wonder if he will. I wonder if he's got the intestinal fortitude to stand up and say, no, fuck this, man. Fuck this. I'm going to tell the truth at this little hearing. Or will he decide that maybe his family could be next and keep his mouth shut? Silence is death. Don't forget that. In Plague Watch news, here's some good news. Jubilant Canadian researchers, oh, look at that. Look at that. Some brethren of mine in my fellow countries have announced a world breakthrough in developing vaccines against the lethal Ebola and Marburg virus. Excellent. Working with the U.S. Army, researchers at Health Canada's National Microbiology Laboratory in Winnipeg, been there, nice place, have produced a single-dose vaccine that successfully protects monkeys against the two closely related viruses. Hoorah! A vaccine against Ebola? Because believe you fucking me, man, Marburg and Ebola is a nasty-ass way to check out. I would like all my organs to liquefy and fall out my ass. Thank you. No, wait. The viruses, both of them, which have killed hundreds of people in Central Africa this year alone, are considered a potential bioterrorism threat and have no known treatment or cure. It is the first time a Marburg vaccine has been shown to work in monkeys. A human vaccine could be ready for production in 5 to 6 years. You mean to fucking tell me that you can get an antidepressant to market in a matter of months, but it takes 5 or 6 years to stop to produce a vaccine that saves black people from dying from a disease? How far do I really got to reach to make this look like it's a load of shit? But it could be fast-tracked. Oh, good. It could be fast-tracked for sooner use in response to an emergency. Well, since we got hundreds of people dying in Africa, what the fuck do you call an emergency? Dr. Steve Jones of the laboratory told a news conference in Winnipeg on Friday. It was held in advance of the announcement, which was embargoed until yesterday when it was published in the journal Nature Medicine. The vaccine for two of the most lethal organisms we know of, end quote, highlights the scientific capacity Canada has built up at the Winnipeg facility. It's one of three highly secure level 4 labs in the world, and also the importance of international cooperation, said Dr. Frank Plummer, a scientist director, its scientific director general. This group, established in Winnipeg, has gone through leaps and bounds on the world stage. It is truly a world-class facility. Dun, 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 dun. We're so fucking great. We're great that we've created a vaccine. Of course, we can't get it to market in 6 years, so how do we even know that the vaccine's real, works, or anything else like that? This could all just be FUD. We have no real method to know. Let's just get the vaccine on the market, start injecting it in people, because these people are fucking dying. And if you inject it in them and they're going to die anyway, and you inject them with this vaccine that may heal them, I would take a small chance of survival versus no chance of survival any day of the week. My same argument for cryonics. Okay? Now let's talk about some other cyberpunk kit other than cryonics. Let's talk about head-mounted displays. Now, everyone knows that if you don't know, you should know that I am a big fan of a Project Gargoyle, or what I call the Gargoyle Project, where it's the concept of hooking somebody up using a wearable computer so they're basically online all the time and using, Wi-Fi, sort of a war-walking-slash-driving concept. You could skip between networks and generally be online almost permanently, hooked in like a node of server to the web. But the thing that limits that, really, the real bitch, there's other things you get around, is the head-mounted displays. Yes, there are head-mounted displays that do work, but they're too big and too bulky to be practical. But now, it seems that Olympus, who came out with some other head-mounted displays in the last few years, has come out with yet a new one. Olympus Corp has made a prototype head-mounted display designed to be worn at all times and to display information when required without impairing vision. Very, very hot. The HMD does not usually display anything, but shows simple information on certain occasions. To the arrival of a train when the user comes to a platform of a station. So it's like an augmented reality setup. Or draw attention when the user receives an email. The 3.8 translucent screen of diagonal length of 10 centimeters seems to exist 50 centimeters ahead of the user. Personal impressions when actually warm is that things can be seen through the display and it never hinders sight, giving almost no annoyance. Wow. So if you cross this with that augmented reality Pac-Man game system that those Singapore guys are working on, you could do some good shit. The main body of the head-mounted display shapes like a stick and measures 3.2 millimeters by 3.2 millimeters by 27 millimeters. A 0.16-inch, wow, that's small, LCD panel with 113,000 pixels is embedded in the main body that is to be attached to the eyeglasses. The total weight of the main body and attachment portion is as light as 27 grams, and it enables prolonged use. Now, I wonder why we haven't seen more of this technology out there. Or is it because this is the next step that they don't want the hackers to get their hands on? You remember a while back there was those IBM Labs. They had that commercial with the guy in Russia, and he was doing stock trades while sitting on a park bench. He's getting up and yelling and jumping around. There's birds flying around him and shit like that. It's like, you know, consider the future, some equally bullshit IBM phrase like that. Remember that? Well, where's the product? They had one. It's working. They could have made it. It's a piece of tech. Did they put it on the market? No. Did they put the display on the market? No. Was it ever really real, or was it all just bullshit? Was it all just corporate propaganda, or did they actually have this fucking device? Why is it taking so long for us to get wearable computers? That's what I want to know. What the hell? Flying cars? I can understand. You want to keep all the rats in the cages. Totally okay. You know, you can't have people flying around because then they'd really be free. Yeah, people flying around, well, you know, who knows what could happen next? Government starts losing control. People start getting some freedom. Oh, my God. Directional chaos takes over. Who knows what advancements could happen? And we wouldn't be able to make money from that. So God knows we got to keep the flying cars under wraps. But wearable computers? Come on, guys. Don't you see the potential to keep people roped in permanently, working 24 hours a day, get up in the morning, put on their wearable, and make it to the office, answer their emails before they can get out of their fucking car? Wouldn't that just be fantastic? Come on! Just give us a wearable computer that works, huh? We won't do anything bad with it, we fucking promise! Now, that drunken lush, lead scorched, sent me some interesting DUI evasion news. Hundreds of cases involving breath alcohol tests have been thrown out by Seminole County judges in the past 5 months because the test's manufacturer will not disclose how the machines work. So it's like, hi, we got this device. It tests for your breathalyzer, but we're not going to tell you how it does that. It just does. It's fucking magic. All four of Seminole County's criminal judges have been using a standard that if a DUI defendant asks for a key piece of information about how the machine works, it's software source code, for instance, and the state cannot provide it, the breath test is rejected. This is handy to know. And the Orlando Sentinel reported this on Wednesday. Prosecutors have said they do not know how many drunk drivers have been acquitted as a result. But Gino Felicani, the misdemeanor division chief at Seminole County State Attorney's Office, Jesus, these guys got long titles, said this conviction rate has dropped 50% or less. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not for people driving around hammered. Incidentally, I wonder how many people you get driving around, you know, messed up on weed. I don't think they go above 20 miles an hour. But anyway, you know, you get these people, drunk drivers kill people, okay? They're very, very dangerous. My mom was hit by a drunk driver. I bet you know somebody who was either hit or killed by a drunk driver. They're everywhere. And all you got to do is talk to any cop or paramedic, and they'll tell you that if it wasn't for alcohol, those people would be largely unemployed. But no. We got to keep the alcohol flowing so we can poison our populace and give more people more reasons to go to jail. Seminole judges have been following the lead of County Judge Donald Marblestone, who in January ruled that although information may be trade secret and controlled by a private contractor, defendants are entitled to it. Florida cannot contract away the statutory rights of its citizens, the judge wrote. Well, powerful stuff. And it's good to see that there are some judges out there who've got the intestinal fortitude to stand up and be counted when it's really, really needed. Now, Vulcan, who's a little psycho, sent me some Scientology news. Now, normally, you know, unless we get some real, like, because they're always in the news, and Tom Cruise is out there spouting his shit, you know, as per, and I don't hate Tom Cruise, and understandably, I do not hate Scientologists. I think that the so-called belief structure they have is a carefully constructed mind meme that's designed to, you know, rob people and exploit them so that they can get money. That's why this is not a religion. Well, I suppose it's about as much a religion as anything else is a religion, I suppose you could say, but I'm not really a big fan of a religion that causes people to be exploited, i.e., I don't like fundamental Islam, fundamental Christianity, or anything fundamental. And I don't think there's anything that's not fundamental about Scientology. So if you take, you know, I'm not into putting the fun back into fundamentalism, no matter how crazy the Republicans get. But check this out. A former member on longtime critic of the Church of Scientology has been ordered by a Marin Court judge to pay the church $500,000 for speaking out against the controversial religious movement. $500,000 for speaking out against the movement. Superior Court Judge Lynn Dury issued the order in a breach of contract lawsuit against the Scientology defector Gerald Armstrong. The Church of Scientology had sought $10 million from Armstrong, who joined the church in 1969, left in the fold of 1981, and later became one of the movement's harshest critics. So the guy was there from 69 to 81. It's like 12 years. That's a pretty good go. 12 years. He was sued by the church in 1984 for allegedly stealing thousands of pages of private papers that shed new light on the movement's mysterious founder, the late L. Ron Hubbard. Hubbard was a prolific science fiction writer and freelance philosopher, and he was a shitty writer and a shitty philosopher, founded the Church of Scientology in the 50s and died in 1986. During his years in Scientology, Armstrong said he worked as an intelligence officer and communications officer and compiled documents for church-sponsored biography of Herbert. So, of L. Ron, that is. He said that he has been in Scientology's sight since the church first filed its 1984 lawsuit in Los Angeles County Superior Court to get control of Hubbard's private papers. Judge Paul Breckinridge Jr. presided over the case, issued a ruling which he called Hubbard virtually a pathological liar when it comes to its history, background, and achievements, end quote. In settling that case in 1986, Armstrong agreed to return the documents. He said that the church paid him, $515,000, $800,000 including his lawyer's fees, and that his attorney at the time persuaded him to sign an agreement promising to maintain a strict confidentiality and silence with respect to his experiences with the Church of Scientology. But since then, I guess, the guy has been keeping to speak out. But Scientology doesn't want anyone talking because they're afraid of the truth. They're afraid of people who've got documentation that show that this so-called religion is actually a very dangerous cult designed using psychological factors to make people weaker and dependent upon their pseudo-babble. Really sick shit for a thousand, Alex. I cannot believe how much people will fall for this crap. No wonder there's so much antidepressants in the workplace. Is education gone so far down that people will actually fall for this kind of bullshit? Only the internet can maybe help us on this one, because that seems to be the last place where we can get some real information and real education without it being run through a number of people and censors first. Don't you think? Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Let's get into the daily hacks for the day. We got two sites, one of which is going to be really, really cool. And this is something that I think is a great idea. It's a DIY parts site. This is a site that facilitates an online swap meet for computer parts, where money is not the goal, but community recycling is. Now, this is brilliant. This website, when you check it out, is a really fantastic idea. It's great for a number of reasons, not the least of which being that it provides people with a cheap way to get equipment and hardware. Yes, it's hot to have the hottest video card. Yes, it's hot to play Doom 3 with all the high-speed settings. Yes, you know, Half-Life 2 and all the rest of it. Yeah, that's all cool. But there's a whole lot of people who are still offline, who have still not got access to the internet and to all the great information that's out there, and not just this show. I mean, there's all kinds. I mean, with BitTorrent and everything, now more than ever, it's a very exciting time to get online. Really, it is. And when you think about how many changes are happening in the world with the advent of robotics and, well, with cybernetic enhancements and things like this, really now more than ever, it's almost vital to get people online. So I would encourage you, if you have a couple of computers, you know, because you've upgraded two or three times, and you cannibalize some parts, maybe it's time to crack out some of those old computer cases you got. Maybe it's time to get them working. Get an operating system on there that's easy to use. That's all I'll say about that. But, you know, acquire an operating system and put it on there. And give that to someone. Give it to someone who needs it. Give it to someone who's got maybe low-income housing. If you've got a Wi-Fi hookup and you're in an apartment building, hook them up so that they're on your Wi-Fi. Maybe help a senior get online. Help a single mom who's got kids who can't afford it. Help them get online. Yeah, that means you're going to be going over there and you're going to be getting rid of viruses. But is that such a heavy price to pay? And furthermore, when you start doing stuff like that, it does really promote a sense of community. And as a WOG, it is a fantastic piece of PR that goes from word of mouth. Well, eventually you'll get people saying, I don't know about these hackers. They'll say, well, I don't know about these hacker guys. Yeah, I mean, I hear a lot of stuff about them in the news. But I don't know. This WOG guy came over and he gave us a computer. And he helped my daughter do her homework. And it was really, really nice. I don't know why everyone says all these hackers are so bad, because it seems to me a lot of these computer guys are only concerned with making sure people get a free education. Maybe that's a good idea. I don't know. Just spouting off ideas over here. And here's a good idea for Sim. How to make an origami CD holder. Because the guy's forever looking for CD cases, you know. Whenever you buy anything, Sim is honestly sitting there, you know, and he's cutting up CD holders. He's making the little folders that go inside. He's making DVD cases. He's always looking for stuff. So if you're going to the Rant Meet this weekend and you were to start seeing origami CD holders, I think this is a great idea. And this is how you can make one, which is a great way to transport, too, incidentally. If you're just going over to a buddy's house and you don't want to bring a case because blah, 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 whatever. If you've ever burned a mix CD, only have it scratched after a single trip in a car, you could buy a plastic CD holder, but they eventually crack and shatter and bad for the environment. A lot of people take all the artwork out of the case and throw away the plastic case altogether. Either way, you wind up with a hunk of plastic that ends up sitting in a landfill for 600 years or more. But if you could make your own CD case using plain old paper for a penny or two, you can make a CD case that will do the job. And when the case gets old, you just recycle it. Furthermore, with a little bit of Photoshop knowledge, you could actually put it together so you've got art on it too, which would look really, really neat. Maybe if you've got a band and you're trying to put out CD cases, if you were to do something like this, yeah, it'd be a lot more labor to fold them all up, seal them, maybe put just a tiny bit of like Uhu glue on there. But maybe you could make yourself some pretty cool, pretty unique packaging for your album. Or maybe for a newsreel show. For those of you out there that could make a template, you know, just by lining up on something you could print out on 8x10, we could maybe make newsreel cases. Print it off, fold it up, give it to someone. Away you go. Pretty good idea, I think. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you got all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in a time of crisis. Those people are Forleet, Alan, Druid Weiss, Simmeru the Grey, Ghost Drake, WebLife, Philip Paradin, Robert, Jesse, Andrew, Michael, End User, Christopher, Noog, Derek, Joseph, Jesse, Eric, Desert Runner, Steve, Brandon, Jason, Matthew, Mainframe, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Matt, Evan, Austin, David, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Charles, Philip, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Host Mojo, Matt, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Dark Nature, and Brandon. New subscribers this month, the support element, the cavalry, who came in to rescue us were Ed, Jennifer, Palmer, Art, Kevin, Michael, Dennis, Jesse, Matthew, and Jason. Thank you so much for your donations. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab, because believe it or not, every little bit does help. Digital baptisms. This week, Rebel Whore, longtime listener, is now known as Cryptomancer. So that's your new online name. Upcoming events. Make sure you check the page to find out about the Rant Meet this weekend. If you're going to be in the Vancouver area, should be a lot of fun. I was talking to Triad, and they were saying that they might be able to make it up. I'm looking forward to getting together with those guys. Maybe I'll just jump in the van and not come back. Thanks again to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. And if you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Skin Dot called Test Tube Tragedy. Very, very cool. I'm going to leave you now with a great track from Marilyn Manson about modern media. This is the new shit. Until tomorrow, that's what servers say. End of line.
Rebel, rebel, party, party, sex, 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 and don't forget the violence, blah, 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 got your lovey-dovey, sad and lonely, stick your stupid slogan and everybody sing along, babble, babble, bitch, bitch, rebel, rebel, party, party, sex, 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 and don't forget the violence, blah, 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 got your lovey-dovey, sad and lonely, stick your stupid slogan and everybody sing, are you motherfuckers ready? Sing along.